Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. One of our favorite segments of the week, being joined by Josh Pate. Josh Pate, college football show on CBS Sports. Josh Pate, one of the premier authorities on college football, joining us once again. What's up, Josh?
I'm just trying to see a close game in person. That's all I could really ask for these days. I've seen two blowouts. I'm looking for a nice fourth quarter, one possession game decided late. And if you know where to find one, please direct me to it.
Well, we've had a lot of you're not going to go to Idaho and Oregon. You're not going to go to Oregon. And I guess maybe just go watch Oregon games, because no matter who the competition is, they've got close games. Boise State, yeah, they went with a field goal at the gun.
That's a nice early season semi surprise for people. I was just doing a Portland hit a little while ago, and you would not know they're 2-0 because there is stage 5 freakout and alarm up there. I've looked at that and I've just said, well, obviously they're not settled on the offensive line and they can't run the ball. They've been outrushed 2 weeks in a row. They are disproportionately leaning on explosive plays to score right now, which is wonderful when you can get it, but if you look at these teams' profiles, the offenses that disproportionately lean on explosive plays and they don't sustain drives, they are ripe to just be shut down totally when they face a legitimate defense. Now, they haven't faced a high-level defense yet. They will, so they better get that stuff figured out. But there are teams every year that we look at in week 7 or week 8 when they hit the stride, and we find ourselves saying, wow, they look night and day different than they looked in week 1 and week 2. Now, for their sake, I hope that's them, but I still got a lot of questions about Oregon.
And they're playing early. Oregon State, Washington State. Normally these are games that they care about. Is that what about the timing of these games?
Yeah, that's so weird to look at. Look, at least they did maintain the games, but seeing those things played in week 3 is a little shock to the sense for me. The Oregon State game, this is the first time Oregon's been on the road. I mean, I cannot imagine the vitriol built up in Corvallis when the sport leaves them behind and their coach leaves them behind, and you can't blame Jonathan Smith for that, but there's one shot they get. They get this shot. This is the one shot they get to remind people, hey, we matter. And I don't think that's going to be an easy one for Oregon. I do not think that at all.
Yeah, they got both of those teams, Washington State and Oregon State, both want to prove, hey, you should not have left us behind. We'll see if they're able to.
But Washington State's beating of Texas Tech was pretty impressive. They really popped them pretty good this weekend.
Yeah. What do you think of Arizona and Kansas State this week?
We broke that game down last night. So my own model that I use, for what it's worth, really likes Kansas State to win and cover. And yet I looked at the drive chart last week. Tulane had, I don't know how, it may have been 10 passes of 15 yards or more. They just bombed on Kansas State. Probably more times than not, they win that game if you simulate it again. So Kansas State finds a way to win. And I just picture in my head what I think the Kansas State's offense is going to be this year. And it's Avery Johnson running the ball a lot at quarterback. Well, he has run the ball 11 times the first 2 weeks. And I don't know if he's hurt. I don't think he is. I think maybe they understand there's only so many times you can ask your quarterback to run the ball. And if we're doing that in a designed way, we're going to save that for games a little down the road. Now, this is Arizona on a Friday night. It's not a conference game, but it's against the conference opponent. I got to think that Avery Johnson may run the ball more in this game than he has the previous two combined. And it's such a feast or famine game, because if Arizona's passing game is hot early, they can win the game outright. If Kansas State's run game is hot early, they can win the game outright. There is a lot of variance I guess I should say, end potential outcome. I'm really glad it's on a Friday night. If you're talking about the individual awards market, you know, if McMillan's going to be a Biletnikoff guy, if Fifita is going to be a Heisman guy or a Davey O'Brien guy, this is their spot. This is the one time that we can pretty well guarantee a majority of the country will be watching an Arizona game. And so anything they're going to do to contend for that, they've got to explode Friday night. That one may be the most entertaining Friday night game we get all year. I'm really excited about it.
I'm going to go backwards to Texas and Michigan and get the assessment from you. That was a huge game for the Longhorns. As you know, Josh, I'm part of the Joe Moore Award Selection Committee. And we've looked at Texas over the years. I've primarily been the one who takes a look at this region, although we've reshuffled the regions that we study. And this is the first time where I go, okay, Texas has the type of offensive line that could legitimately make them a national contender. I thought they could be headed into the season. I think they might be better than Georgia. And I know winning in Michigan, that's not a great Michigan team. But the way that Texas did it, I was really impressed. And I got to tell you, I was impressed with the poise of Quinn Ewers. What were your thoughts? Give me your thoughts on both Michigan, where they stand now, and what Texas has coming for it in the future, especially as they start to check out the showdown headed mid-October with Georgia.
I think we nailed this thing. We talked about this game at length last week, and I think we nailed both teams. Michigan, nothing about 2023 matters. People use the phrase defending national champ all they want to. It doesn't matter. Those players aren't there. Those coaches aren't there. It's a little bit of a rebuild year. They're an 8-4, 9-3 caliber team at best. That's what they are. They've got an offense built for Alex Orji to run, but he did not win the job. And so it's square peg, round hole for them right now, and that's Michigan. Texas, I thought all week, and really all spring and summer, but leading up to the game all week, I didn't just think Texas was built to win a fist fight if it happened. I thought they wanted one. Like, I thought they wanted to go in there because they were bigger, faster, stronger, and deeper. They were three deep at quarterback, better than anything Michigan had. They're seven deep at wide receiver, better than anything Michigan has. And I just thought to myself, who in their right mind would think Michigan's about to bully this team? The only thing people had poisoning their mind was the past. But just like 2023 doesn't matter with this Michigan team, the past doesn't matter with this Texas team. This Texas team is what it is. And so I agree with you. I stood there, watched warm-ups. I stood there on the field and watched the whole game. That offensive line is legitimate, and I want people to pay attention to this. In the transfer portal era and people debating, well, how should you build your team, Texas does a really good job of supplementing via the portal. But you want to know what the nucleus of that team is. It's the offensive line. Go research where those guys came from, because 5-for-5 across that starting line,
Yeah. The
previous stop they had before Austin was high school. Homegrown. They got all those guys out of high school. They developed them all out of high school,
Homegrown.
And that's the way it's done.
And they took their lumps. They needed to take lumps. When you have a young offensive line, you'll take your lumps early on. Just know that it's going to pay dividends down the road.
Nobody had an easier road to the playoff than Notre Dame. Does that, what happened last week, say more about Notre Dame? And how scared should Aggie fans be when, right after they beat the Aggies, they throw in that stinker?
Yeah, it's kind of the inverse of what we think about Georgia. So Georgia just body bags Clemson, and then Clemson rips App State to pieces as thoroughly as anything you've ever seen, which makes you ask, wow, could Georgia be even better than I thought? Well, the inverse is true here. Yeah, it probably does say a little something about A&M, but we'll see them on the road against Florida Saturday. So if there's nothing to worry about, we'll find out.
Yeah, but Florida's no good. Florida's no good.
Well, that's true, but if Notre Dame's not either and they beat you in your backyard, then I have plenty to worry about if you got to go on the road. And so with Notre Dame, that was the most disappointing thing I saw in week two, because you're right about their path. But you're also talking about a head coach now several years into a tenure. You can't be losing multiple games as a double-digit favorite, multiple games as an unranked opponent coming in there at home and beating you. Marcus Freeman said after the game, well, we've been here before. Well, that's a problem. That's not a good thing. That's a problem that you're there again, because you're supposed to be building a program. And I guess maybe after that week one game, I wanted to believe they were ready to be a premier program, like to take that step. And I don't think they're ready for that yet. Now, the follow-up is, and this is something I can't know, I wonder sometimes when a perplexing result happens, and everyone's scratching their heads. Is the coaching staff scratching their head too, or do they have answers? Can they identify A, B, C, D, E? This is why it happened. This is our plan to correct it. Because I get paid to ask questions. You guys get paid to ask questions. Coaches are not paid to ask questions. They're paid to have the answers. And I really wonder what the answer is up there right now and what the maximum potential of that team this year is, because maybe it's just not what we thought it was.
Is Nebraska a real team?
Well, define real team for me.
Well, I mean a possible, a three-loss team this year.
Yeah, I think they could be better than that. So, yes.
Really?
I guess if that's the definition, they are absolutely a real team.
That's a good football team. A 9-3 football is a good football team.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can go back now. I can go back at Temple. I can go back at Baylor. I can go back and look at Matt Rhule at his stops year one to year two. He's the guy. If you ever want to talk about the year one to year two improvement, he's the face of that. And so they went and drastically upgraded at quarterback, even though, I mean, Raiola's not going to be a star this year. They were so terrible at quarterback last year that just having average play there this year, coupled with that defense they have, and maybe the most underrated defensive staff still in the country, that will be enough. If you look at their schedule, talk about Notre Dame's path, Nebraska's path, yeah, it's got a trip to Ohio State on it. But outside of that, they'll either be favored or close to being favored in every game they play, and yet it's also a hungry program. There's no threat of complacency there or anything because they haven't done anything. So, I mean, if we're talking about a 12-team playoff, and we're talking about, you know, a Big Ten team maybe going 10-2, maybe. Yeah, they're a real team. I think they may be in that discussion at the end of the year.
Yeah, Matt Rhule's so good. And I didn't have any doubt that he would build this up. It's just it doesn't take a long time, but once you get in your first year, there's really nothing you can do. And, you know, people made that excuse for Deion at the end of the year because Deion got off to a quick start. Brought too much attention, I think, on the program was going to have attention. I think the do you believe now and all that. Like, it made them, it brought too
unlikable.
Much attention too early. Yeah, the unlikable. I don't think that bothered Deion at all to be unlikable, but I think it brought too much attention, too many high expectations. The reality is, at the end of the year, they had 4 wins, improved from 1 win. Okay, you know, you could definitely say, hey, that's improvement. It didn't match the hype, but that's improvement. Now we get into the second year, Josh, and the second year is the growth year and the development year and you're building towards something year. And, man, this game was so bad for Colorado and Deion for so many reasons, but primarily because there is an exact replica of a coach who came in at the same time, had to clean up a bad roster, and now you see one program that clearly has an identity on both sides of the ball, a philosophy. They have a way of building out the roster. And on the other side, you watched a game where Colorado was outcoached. They don't seem to have an identity on either sides of the ball. They have a roster that's completely in flux. They're, you know, throwing people under the bus all the time over Colorado. It couldn't be more different between Matt Rhule, who is building a program up, and Deion, who I'm not sure what the identity is for Colorado at all right now.
Well, it's the difference in whatever you call Colorado. I call it an experiment. It's the difference between an experiment and a program. Matt Rhule's building a program. Deion is running an experiment. And he's free to do it however he wants to. It's always been my opinion on it. Folks love him or hate him, and I'm fine either way. Like, I'm glad he's in the sport, but doesn't mean I have to believe in everything he's doing necessarily. And I don't. I don't think that there's sustainable winnability in doing it the way that they do. Now, because they've got the kind of athlete sprinkled on the roster that they do, they'll have a win every now and then. It gives you the ability to run your mouth and ask if you believe now and all that, but there's no sustainability there. And then the other thing, and I keep hearing this more, and I got to ask you about this because you run in these circles. There's a lot of talk about Shador and the draft and whatnot, and most people believe he comes out after this year. There are some pretty strong rumors floating around that there are some NFL teams that just wouldn't look at him, at least as a round one pick, because you know you're drafting Deion as well.
Yep.
And there are also, obviously, the rumors about the fact that he'll only go to certain cities and whatnot. Now, I don't know how much of that is true and how much of it's false, so I come here on Wednesday to ask my trusted source, Lance Zierlein, what he's hearing.
Well, so one of the things, and I'm going to hear a lot more as we get closer down the road, but I had a pretty good conversation with a guy who just simply told me, you know, coaches and general managers get fired because of quarterbacks, you know, who they draft. And do you want to put your job on the line for a player who has not shown accountability, who has not shown the leadership of keeping his displeasure with an offensive line internal? He's made it public multiple times. And who clearly you are, as you mentioned, you're drafting Deion. And that's going to be a problem. And not to mention, only certain teams will they go to. Well, you know that it's not going to sit well. Like, how coachable is that going to be when – how coachable is that guy going to be when he's the one determining where he's going to go? He and his family, more importantly, his family are determining when and where he's going to go. So I think there are going to be a lot of teams who just aren't willing to put their jobs on the line for Shedeur Sanders. It's a shame. I think that he could have handled things way differently. I think Deion should have handled things way differently. He's got talent. He's got an arm. He's got size. But listen, teams are not going to be willing in this day and age with quarterbacks. You know, once your contract's up, we've seen a lot of subpar, average to subpar quarterbacks get second contracts that are now going to be over $40 million a year. Teams are not going to put themselves in a position where they're going to have to give a second contract to a guy they don't believe in. And that's why they're not going to draft that guy. Because you draft that guy, guess what? Chances are you're going to have to end up giving that guy a second contract, even if they're just average. And I don't see the leadership from Shedeur, and I'm quite sure by the end of the year, when I really start digging deep with the guys who are big decision makers, Josh, I'm really curious to see what they're going to say about the tape, but a lot about the football character.
All right, we got to break it here. We're over. Where are you going this week, Josh?
Going to South Carolina, hosting LSU, 80% chance of thunderstorms.
Uh-oh.
Should be memorable for one way or another.
How about South Carolina beating the crap out of Kentucky? Holy crap.
How about LSU struggling again with Nichols?
Look, that's why I said, for one reason or another, it could be memorable this Saturday. Because I think that's a must-win for LSU, even though it's only week three.
Well, I don't know why Brian Kelly teams his team starts so slow, but I fully accept it, and they always pick it up. I'm not a Nussmeier guy though. I'm just not. I told you that week one. It's not the same. It's just not the same, and it's proven out that way. He got outplayed. He's basically been outplayed 2 weeks. But you know they pulled it out at the end. But Nichols playing with him for three quarters. Goodness gracious, that's awful. We can't have that. We can't have that, Josh. That's Josh Pate with us every week, the Josh Pate College Football Show. All right, and that's you got an expert on here every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Josh, as always, we appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, there's Josh Pate, and here's Lance talking about Underdog.
Yeah, I want to talk about Underdog because a lot of these games we just got done talking about. Did you know that you can go higher or lower with Underdog Fantasy? Yes, you can in college football as well. There are statistics that you can go higher or lower, and Underdog Fantasy has never made it easier to play along with the games that you're watching. That's the best way to describe it. You're going to play along with the games that you're watching so that you have a lot of fun. And Underdog Fantasy, they make it so simple. All you have to do to make picks and get started is go to their mobile app or go to underdogfantasy.com. Sign up with promo code Lance, and Underdog is going to give you a highly discounted pick to use on your first pick'em entry, plus a first-time deposit offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code Lance to claim your new customer offer of the gimme first pick and your first deposit offer. You have a chance to win 1,000 times your original play when you're playing this football season on the high and low. So why would you take any opportunity not to, you know, make real money with your football knowledge? You can make real money. It's completely legal here in the state of Texas. And as I mentioned, it makes the games more fun to watch when you're going higher or lower on the stats of some of the players in there. Pick between 2 and 5, and this experience will be yours. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Yeah, I'm just looking through. Man, I'm going to tell you, Brian Kelly, I'll tell you what, he loses this week South Carolina, and his job's going to be on the line. His first season, 3 losses in the first 6 weeks. 2 losses in the first 6 weeks in his second season. 2 losses in his first 5 weeks in last year. You can't be out of it. Now, 2 losses isn't out of it as far as the playoff goes, but it'll be awfully tough to get to that playoff and go undefeated the rest of the way with that schedule. I don't know who Mega Blast pointed out. Easiest road. What about Texas's road with their schedule? Actually, Texas does have a pretty easy road to the playoff. A real easy road to the playoff. Whether or not they can get a bye, first week bye, by winning the SEC is another question. But as far as the SEC teams go, Texas has a pretty easy route.
Yeah. I mean, easy's always relative. Well, and the playoffs are nothing now. Who can't get there? Like, all you do have to do is be a pretty good team. It's not really. Texas can lose twice. They're still going to get there. Losing the SEC championship game, I don't mind that. That's why I thought six would have been good. I was okay with 8. 12 was like, we'll take whatever.
It all depends. Let's say Texas loses to Georgia, and now Oklahoma didn't look good.
That won't kill them as long as
didn't look good against the Cougs, but they do have that rivalry game. They lose to Oklahoma, that's 2, and then they go to A&M. So they would have to lose. They would have to lose. I guess you would say the 2 toss ups. Or where they're slightly favored against Oklahoma, or maybe even more than slightly favored, and then get upset once. So it's possible, but that means – because they should probably lose to Georgia. I know you think they're better, but I'll take Georgia in that one, even in Austin. And the Oklahoma one is like the swing game. Because now if they lose Oklahoma, then there's a real threat. Any off day the rest of the way, and a 3-loss Texas team may not make it.
I don't know if a 3-loss team makes it. Absolutely. How many SEC teams are you going to take? You'd have to take 4 if you were going to do that, or maybe even 5, because Tennessee's going to be up there. Alabama's going to be up there. Ole Miss is going to be up there. We'll see if LSU is up there. Georgia's up there. I mean, no, you can't be a mediocre team and get there. There's no way. They've got to win football games, but they got an easy road. If they screw up like Notre Dame, you made your own bed. You lose to NIU. And you deserve to not be there. Notre Dame might have to that loss will be forgotten. If Notre Dame loses 2 games all year, but you know what? You can't slip up like you did.
I think if they lose 2, they're obviously in danger, because is any other playoff contender going to have that bad of a loss in their resume?
Is the win against the Aggies going to look good at the end of the year?
They do have USC, and if USC is as good as at least we've seen from the first 2 weeks, that would help their cause. It just the tiebreakers for Notre Dame being Notre Dame, and you know, everything we talk about conspiracy wise. Well, we want to see them. People want to see them on TV. But you have the Northern Illinois anchor, so any other team who you compete against not going to have a 4-touchdown loss favorite at home type thing on their resume.
Yeah, that's going to be the problem. The 12 is going to make it in. There will be some interesting teams that get in with the 12 team format, but. You know, the good teams will be in. There is no – if you're very good to good, you're in the playoffs. That's all there is to it. A Texas team, if Texas doesn't get in, with the amount of hype that they have before the season, with the talent that they have, if they don't get in the playoffs, they had a bad season. It would take probably 3 losses for Texas not to get into the playoffs. Now, 3 losses in the SEC is completely possible. You don't – like Quinn Ewers can't have those slip-ups in those Oklahoma State or Texas Tech type games. He just you can't have that. And there's plenty of, you know, there's plenty of games like that where you could get yourself in trouble. But I happen to think Texas is one of the top 2 teams in the nation along with Ohio State. So I think we'll see them there. I think what's interesting now becomes teams like Tennessee, South Carolina. How many SEC teams are going to have a viable claim to the playoffs? I mean, could you get 6 of the 12 teams SEC? People would lose their minds if they had that. But Georgia, Alabama, Texas, Tennessee, I mean, we're at 4 already, but I don't know that you would get – I'm just throwing some names out there just in general. maybe I think five would be the most SEC teams you could get in
there.
They'll
play. You know what? They'll knock each other off.
Yeah, that's true.
They're going to knock each other off. And they're going to be teams that, all right, is after what you saw with Oklahoma State and Arkansas, are they viable? Is Oklahoma State viable?
Well, they didn't look very good that game. I mean, no. They won, but they didn't look very good.
No, I mean, and they should have. They probably should have lost that game, and then they should have won it easily with a field goal. I don't know, but we'll see. Is Utah going to run through everybody? Is Arizona any good? They didn't look very good either. Is Kansas State is? I don't know. We'll see. I think you're going to get a couple of teams out of the Big 12. I think you'll get a couple of teams out of the Big 12 and probably three out of the Big 10.
I'm going to keep my eye on Boise because they got a great running back, and they just about beat Oregon on the road. So they had a big win in week one. They won easy. Week two, they almost beat Oregon in Oregon. That's one of those teams that, to keep your eye on as well. You know, in the mid, they probably have to win out. But in that number 12 range, that's going to be an interesting team, and we'll see. You know, we'll see how the Big 12 shapes up. We'll see if Dabo Swinney, there's a chance that Clemson smacked Appalachian State. There's a chance that they have happened to them what most teams have happened early on, just like Dan Lanning in Oregon got a taste 2 years ago. You go up against Georgia early on, you're going to get smacked. But that doesn't mean, you know, who's to say that maybe Clemson doesn't find their way back into the playoff hunt playing in that conference over there? You know, maybe. Is there a chance that Florida State is able to – No, wait.
Florida State?
No, Florida State lost week two, right?
Twice.
Yeah, they've already lost twice. They're done.
Yeah, they're done.
Miami has a really good shot.
Dell, do we have U of H tickets to give away?
Not on this show. We got U of H tickets on my show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I got a way for you. If you can't listen to Dell's show or you don't listen to Dell's show, we understand.
It's unnecessary.
Okay, but –
Just do the live. You don't have to do all that.
If you want to buy tickets, how about this? $15 for 100-level tickets to this Saturday's. It's the Bayou Bucket. University of Houston taking on the Rice Owls. This Saturday, September 14th, 7 p.m. at TDECU Stadium. Only $15 for 100-level tickets. $10 for 200-level tickets. This is the best buy you can possibly have. Now, you got to go to uhcougars.com/promo, enter promo code RICE24. uhcougars.com/promo, enter promo code RICE24. $15 for 100-level seats? Are you kidding me? And then once you're down there, you know, what, I'm not telling you to go just sit up closer. Whatevs. Go sit where? Sit. Go in the 100-level and sit. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. But stand.
Tell them what you're going to tell them. Just say
loud.
What you want to say.
We're red, okay? Let's go. Get there. Let's fill up the place. It's the city championship. It's the Bayou Bucket. University of Houston taking on the Rice Owls. uhcougars.com/promo and a promo code RICE24.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is our final segment. Dell, what did we miss today? Anything?
I'm trying to think. I don't think we – maybe old Lance has got something.
I've got something. How about the WNBA – commissioner, she's in a little bit of hot water now.
Why? Because she said it's good. The fight between the two are good.
Yeah. Well, here's not a fight, but here's what happened.
Right.
Kathy Engelbert, who appeared on CNBC's Power Lunch, and was asked by anchor Tyler Matheson about what he called the darker, more menacing tone taken by the fan bases on social media, one where race has been introduced. In the conversation where sexuality is sometimes introduced in the conversation, how do you try and stay ahead of that? Try and tamp it down, and or act as a league when two of your most visible players are involved—not personally, it would seem—but their fan bases are involved and saying some very uncharitable things about the other. Engelbert's response focused on the role that Clark and Reese's rivalry has played with helping the game grow. She said, well, there's no more apathy. Everybody cares. It's a little bit of that Larry Bird, Magic Johnson.
We got moment. The sound.
Oh, okay.
We can hear. Okay. Now, you just laid out the question, so here's her response.
Here's her response.
On Power Lunch.
One thing that's great about the league right now, we do sit at this intersection of culture and sport and fashion and music. Like, the WNBA players are really looked at now as kind of cultural icons.
True.
And when you have that, you have a lot of attention on you. There's no more apathy. Everybody cares. It is a little that Bird Magic moment, if you recall, from 1979 when those two rookies came in from a big college rivalry, one white, one black. And so we have that moment with these two. But the one thing I know about sports, you need rivalry. That's what makes people watch. They want to watch games of consequence between rivals. They don't want everybody being nice to one another. So the social media is different today than it was in 1979 when it didn't exist. But, you know, I always tell the players, you know, I was told a long time ago, if someone's typing something in and you wouldn't ask their advice, ignore it. So it's a balance, but certainly from a marketing dollars, but corporate partners are stepping up to endorse these players much more so than they were 5 years ago because they see the benefit of having women and diverse women representing their brand.
I agree. Rivalries are.
So the problem was she never addressed the original question that he asked. And the WNBA players immediately heard that and were like eye rolling, and they were not happy with her answer. The WNBA Players Association Executive Director Terry Jackson released a statement saying, quote, here is the answer the commissioner should have provided to the very clear question regarding racism, misogyny, and harassment experienced by the players. There is absolutely no place in sport or in life for the vile, hate, racist language, homophobic comments, and misogynistic attacks on our players that they're facing on social media. This is not about rivalries or iconic personalities fueling a business model. This kind of toxic fandom should never be tolerated or left unchecked. It demands immediate action and, quite frankly, should have been addressed long ago. That last one is what you know, the comment from Terry Jackson was about the commissioner. Jackson's statement went on to celebrate the spike in fandom stemming from Clark and Reese, and then added, fandom should lift up the game, not tear down the very people who bring it to life. I will say, in looking through, you know, it's been interesting to me to watch this unfold, but, man, it is really toxic. Like, the comments against Angel Reese, we all know that Caitlin's got her haters for a variety of reasons that really are pretty unfair to her, and she handles it great, and she's never lashed out, and people are waiting to be mad at her about stuff, but she's done a pretty good job of not falling into any ridiculous traps. And she's going to go down as one of the best players in that league's history. I mean, she's already doing incomparable things. I think what's unfortunate is that some of her fans, and some people who aren't even don't view her as, like, I guess they're fans of her, but they're fans really more of the culture war. Some of the stuff they say about Angel Reese and the other women, I get that you're not happy with things, but Angel Reese, you know, clapping. I mean, I don't know, in men's basketball, when there's rivalries, we don't really flip out as much. I guess you might go after a Dylan Brooks. There's some villains that you go after in the NBA. That happens too, but I think some of the stuff has gone too far with, because one thing I've noticed is that people nowadays, they don't really hate the player or the team as much as they hate their fans. And so I think that's on a regular basis. If you really think about it, you may not hate the Cowboys, the team, as much as you hate Cowboy fans. And so by extension, you hate the Cowboys, the team that would give them joy. You hate Cowboy fans. There are people who don't hate the Astros as much as they hate Astros fans and Astros Twitter. I think there's a lot of people who don't really hate Angel Reese. They hate Angel Reese's fans who are maybe people who don't really hate Caitlin Clark. They hate Caitlin Clark's fans. That's what happens, is you don't like the people associated with them or the comments that you've read. And the fact is, it is kind of crappy that two women who come in as rookies who have had such great years in different ways. And I know, you know, look, Angel Reese can't shoot. That's a known thing. She's great on the boards. And it's just crazy that this has turned into such a nasty – it's not really crazy because of culture wars, that's people live for that now. Like, they wake up trying to get into a fight online. But it's kind of crazy how nasty people are about these players online. It's really like it's gotten weird that people's entire identities is getting online and joining in with your crew, your clan, so that you can go attack somebody. It's just, it's a lame ass thing to do.
Yeah, I didn't hate you. I hate your brisket, so I have to attack you.
Yeah.
That's a cheap shot.
That's not.
And it's not even funny, and it's not even a good one, honestly. No. You could have done way better.
I didn't think people hated you. I just think people hated your brisket, so they had to go after you.
They don't hate you. They just hate that you replaced RJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So they hate Dell. No, they hate
and them. I hate them, so it's even.
Yeah.
So okay. Well, we have, cool. Willie's been holding.
Okay. Let's get Willie.
Let's get the Willie before we get to News of the Weird.
Good.
Hey, Dale. I wanted to know if you think that Miami can run the ball on Buffalo tomorrow night. And I like to say that even though there's a lot of hype behind Deion and a lot of people don't like him because he's arrogant and all that stuff. But I wish he was at University of Houston and sold out the place and have all that money he got coming in for Colorado.
We had that before. His name was Clyde Drexler in basketball.
Did he have the same type of impact as on Colorado, on Houston? Colorado.
He brought in, sold out basketball. For 2 years, sold out. There was so much attention
and money.
It was
okay.
Yeah, I mean Houston. Yes, he brought in way more money. There was way more excitement about Houston. John, I thought about this the other day. We had that at Houston with Clyde. Clyde really was not. He was not cut out to
be. Did Houston become a national?
They did the first year, and then it went away almost immediately.
Okay,
but Clyde also didn't do the stuff that Deion liked. The promotional stuff. Clyde's first game was a win over Texas in Houston. That was the game, right? He played Texas on ESPN, and they beat Texas. Wasn't it Texas that he beat?
I want to say North Carolina.
Okay. Well, he won his first game where he got to the stadium, I guess, like 6 or 7 minutes before the game started.
Right.
And everyone's freaking out. Like, they want to interview him. He's not there. And Reed Geddes and all the other assistant coach was like, where is Clyde? We got a game. Where is he? There was a tremendous amount of excitement. The place was packed. You remember when you and I called the Rice-Houston game, John, on Channel 51 at Rice, and the place was like wall to wall. It was crazy. And that all went away after 1 year. And as soon as Deion leaves Colorado, it will all go away.
And Willie, to answer your initial question, the Dolphins have ruled out Raheem Mostert with a chest injury. Achan is a game-time decision with an ankle. I don't know if the expectation is he will play. So
who's your third back? You got somebody else that can
play. Jeff Wilson, and they drafted Jalen Wright out of Tennessee.
Oh, Jalen Wright.
So they do have some depth there, particularly to replace Mostert. I don't suspect they're going to have a great time running the ball. They'll hit some explosives because that's what they do. I don't think they're going to run the ball well, even with all the creativity, just because they – particularly if Achan doesn't play.
They didn't run it great last game.
No, they ran it late. They got into their big personnel and converted some third downs to get them in position to kick the game-winning field goal. But as far as their basic run game that we see with all the motions and the tosses and stuff, the Jags handled that fine. So we'll see. It's early. It's a short week. I didn't get my eyes on Buffalo. I don't know how they handled Arizona early. I know – they were just down 17-3 until Josh Allen took over. But that's a Thursday night game. We're a day away from
Did you guys see where Deion won't allow – they have to – the Colorado band, he went to him and said, I don't want y'all playing a fight song after Shador scores a touchdown because we're going to play his rap song. And so
– He denies that.
Who denied it?
Deion. He denies that.
Well, I'm sure he does deny it, but they said the fans apparently said they weren't playing. They were playing Shador's rap song. Now, he may deny that he said that, but it's also an atrocious look. Like, I would hope that he would deny it even if he said it. Just try to distance himself from it. Bud Elliott, who is the one who got banned from the press or couldn't ask questions, he's the one who had that intel. So I guess take it with a grain of salt, but people who were there said after touchdowns, in the first game, they weren't playing at home. They weren't playing the fight song.
So anymore. Bud Elliott is or was a – I guess he still does a podcast, a Florida State-based podcast.
Yeah, how did he
– but he's now become Denver? A national guy. Now, he works for CBS.
Well, he works for CBS, but he's – I thought he's the Denver
– No, Bud Elliott is
– Oh, he's not the one that got kicked out?
I think Dion – kicked out the Denver CBS guy because of a national guy talking about him. So maybe it was Bud Elliott was a national guy.
Oh, so Bud Elliott was not the guy that was... Oh, okay.
Maybe he was the impetus
for Dion.
He's just
a Florida State guy.
Maybe Dion was pissed at Bud Elliott for something and he blamed a Denver guy for it. John, it's up to you. Can't see. LaRosa's called in. I know you like him. We're late. We need to get the news of the weird. But all it says is Dell on the caller board. So I'm not sure how you want
to
handle that.
Go to it. Hurry. Go to it.
LaRosa?
The board of the gentleman, I'll make it quick. You know how you said that everybody hates? They'll get a lot of hate, but he has to be the reason of hate. RJ was so soft and so timid. He didn't say anything to you guys. He wasn't like the voice of reasoning. And that's why you liked him so much, because he was just like a cuck sitting on the side.
What?
No.
That's not, no.
That's,
no, he was. He helped us become Hall of Famers.
That is the ugliest thing.
Yeah, he helped us become
said.
Hall of Famers. He wouldn't argue with us because we were
right. And then Dell brings up the racism and everybody, because everybody starts calling you guys racist, which is comedy gold. And it's like the best thing ever, man. And RJ didn't do that. RJ was like, what do you guys want to talk about? Jacksonville? Oh, yeah, Jaguars. Ooh, they suck.
Well, this doesn't hardly seem like a fair comment to me. Dell is the one who always brings up the Miami Heat
actually I don't. You guys,
the Dolphins.
You guys taught me with those questions.
Look, he just started talking about Dolphins.
Willie called.
That was a plant call.
No,
he
was.
What's it called? A plant.
The problem is people are like, oh, Doe always brings that up. You guys always ask me those questions. I don't go. You know what? We should talk about the Dolphins.
We didn't have race radio when RJ was here. You know that
we don't have to listen to Dolphins crap all the time.
It's
the first thing. He wants to lead the show with Dolphins.
That's never happened.
Okay.
We're late for a break, guys. You're late for a break.
Oh, sorry, bud.
Thank you. We got to stop talking about Dell, and we got to talk about Patrick Chastain. We got to talk about the greatness that is Chastain Ford. We got to talk about over 80 years in the city of Houston selling cars. We got to talk about how you're going to walk out of there feeling great about the car that you bought, because you know that you got it. You got people that are going to work their tails off to make sure that you get the best deal that you possibly can. I'm telling you, there's different ways that they can save you money, and they're going to do that. They're going to get you into that car or truck at the price that you have to be at. They're not gonna go, oh no. Here, we gotta add this on. You gotta upgrade here. No. What they're gonna do is they're gonna say, where do your payments have to be? Let's fit you for the right car. Let's put the right car. We'll put you inside the right car with the amenities that you can afford and that you want, not stuff that they want to give you, not stuff that they want to add on. Trust me, dealerships, I've been there. I've seen it. Hey, you're not getting enough out of them. You got to add on. You got to mark that car up. We got to make more. That ain't the way they do it at Chastain Ford. They just don't. Okay? Find out for yourself. You're looking for a pre-owned or you're looking for a brand-new Ford. They got unbelievable deals going on every day. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Big controversy. Are Haitian women eating cats or are they not eating cats? We don't know. No one knows right now. But we do know this. How about this? A Texas man was sentenced Tuesday to more than 3 years in federal prison for kicking a cat as if it was kicking a field goal in a case of abuse that was recorded and shared on social media. This guy's kicking a cat for a field goal, and he puts it on social media. He got 3 years for it. How about that?
Cruelty to animals?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? He should. And if you eat a cat, you should get...
And he did that for clout?
I guess. Yeah. Look at what a great guy I am.
Oh, boom, we'll get a lot of likes. We just need to shock those people for 5 straight minutes with tasers.
Yeah.
And just show it to everybody. So they say, now who wants some?
No. How's this work? How's this work out for you? A Japanese restaurant lets you fish for your own catch of the day. Do you want to go fishing and then eat what you catch?
Do I want to eat what I catch?
Well, you go to this restaurant.
Yeah.
You fish for the fish. You catch it, and then they'll cook it for you.
Yeah, well, why not? That sounds fun.
That does sound fun. Fishing while you're eating?
I mean,
I don't want to do all that work.
Well, I mean, they must have some, like, pond out in the back or something. I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
I don't know I've ever caught anything. I would not, like, I'd have to eventually order off the menu. I'm not a good fisherman.
Yeah, I'm not either. So I'm just going to, you know what? I think it's boring and stupid, although you could drink a couple of beers while you're doing it. But let somebody else do all that work. I just want to eat. And plus, I don't want fish anyway. Can I go out back and catch a cow? That's what I want to do.
You can catch one. I don't know if you...
you butcher one?
Yeah, I don't know if you can butcher one.
Can I get the ribeye that I'm looking for? I'll cut it up.
Well, no. Steakhouses already just roll the pieces of meat and you say, that one.
Oh.
Remember?
Well, what?
They already do that.
Why can't I chop up a cow?
Do you know what goes into butchering, sir? Do you know how difficult that is?
Why can't
I? You can't do it.
Why can't I lop the head off a chicken like your grandma?
Go ahead.
She ripped that thing with her
hands.
She'd
hold it by its claws and then put it on the ground, the neck, upside down, put a metal bar over it, stand on it, and then yank it up real hard.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, German, man. Yeah. Grandma Zerlein, farmers' wives don't have, she lived through the Great Depression. They don't have time for this nonsense.
She would have been great in the war in Germany.
Yeah. No, not that.
Okay.
You start the show with German war stuff and you end it. Nice job. I got one for you. Peyton Thorne, quarterback of Auburn, has said on a recent podcast that after his 4-interception performance against Cal, he was inundated by gamblers on his Venmo requesting money from him. And apparently this is happening to Max Homa, too. Every week after somebody bets on Max Homa and they don't win in golf, they request money from him on Venmo to pay them back for the money they lost.
Wait, so why are we sure those people weren't just the part of the NIL collective that he agreed to a deal with? Hey, our money back.
We want our money back, Peyton.
Well, that would be. No. You know what? If you play like crap, maybe you should give your money back. Guess what?
It's too late. Guaranteed money.
Yep.
Just like the NFL.
You see Denard Robinson and who else? Braylon Edwards are suing for $50
million. They ain't winning. We'll go back and get money that's already. You're not getting that from the NCAA.
Well, they went back because, you know, they're not going to win because statute of limitations is up. So, yeah. But, you know, might as well go for it.
How funny would it be?
Yeah, they said, you know what? Yeah, we know the statute of limitations is up, but we're going to do it anyway.
But how funny would it be if they won and then it started a lawsuit from every player, from 30% of the players, and it bankrupt and they had to end college football?
Yeah. No, and that would.
How good would that be? College football ends because no one can afford it because of the settlements.
Yeah. No, it absolutely would. And there's no chance that they would. Dell, you know what? We need a contestant for Beat the Warehouse Live Guy.
Okay.
Let's do that right now. 713-780-3776. Let's hit. Who wants to play Beat the Warehouse Live Guy Friday at 9 o'clock? You got to be here. 9:30, right? What is it, 9:30?
Yes. What? Caller who? Caller what?
Caller number 5. 713-780-3776. You're listening right now to News of the Weird. You put up with us for these 3 hours. You deserve something. 713-780-3776. Your caller number 5 is going to win that chance to play Beat the Warehouse Live Guy with a limo ride and tickets to a game if you can beat him. But you got to beat him. Larry lost last week, by the way. Larry lost.
He didn't have a bad week. He went 3-2. Justin just went 4-1.
4-1. Justin went 4-1. And he's usually crappy. He's terrible. Time for me and Lance, though, to say goodbye and talk about Aqueduct Plumbing. Talk about Billy Brown. I got to have him at the house, Lance. I'd use Drano. It's not working. It's not working. I got to have Billy out there. And so I still got a clogged drain. It's like I just feel so bad calling him. But you know what? If you got a clogged drain and you can't take care of it, then that's what they do.
Yeah.
You know, don't feel bad calling a plumber when you've got an issue.
Feel
it doesn't
bad.
Matter what your issue is. Billy Brown will be there for you.
Yeah, I'm actually going to get I'm looking at getting a water filtration system. And so I was going through the list of services that Aqueduct Plumbing provides, and that's one of them. Whether it's to get softer water in your home or you just want to clean it up, you just think, I need something to filter the water in my home so I want to be able to drink out of the tap. Well, then that's an idea. That's, for example, something that Aqueduct Plumbing Company can do. They can do that. They can move gas lines. They can repipe underneath your home for you or just fix a leaky faucet. It doesn't matter. Go look at all their services at aqueductplumbingcompany.com.